listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Well, grace to you and peace this day from God who comes to us, who is our peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ, if Paul was to wander through your life, through your daily routines, where you spent your time and your money, where you made sacrifices, the things that bring you great joy, if Paul was to just observe the things that really upset you, if Paul was just to listen to the ways that you speak, if Paul was to wander down, quote, your street, stand at the center of your own personal town square, that is the Areopagus, what would he notice? The question is not, are you or is anyone, for that matter, religious? The question is, in what ways are you extremely religious? Everyone worships something. The word worship, broken down, is worth-ship, what's worthy of your sacrifices. That's what we worship. Lots of people, in fact, go to church but don't worship God because God's not worthy of their true sacrifices. The church is not worthy of their sacrifices beyond maybe some small ways. Traveling, on the other hand, traveling the world, now that's truly worthy of their sacrifices. Clothing or hobbies or housing improvements or sports or fancy alcohol or knives or guns or shoes or concerts or cars or crafts are what's truly worthy of their sacrifices. We all have our thing, I think. What's your thing? The best way for Paul to wander down any one of our streets is for him to take a look at our credit card statements, right? Our Amazon non-essential recent purchases. Or however you can track how and where you spend your money. By the way, I was shocked at how much our family spends looking at our past year's credit card report, how much our family spends on food. And I don't mean restaurants. I mean food that we buy, groceries, and we subscribe to a local source organic food delivery service. We spend a lot on food because it's healthy. It's definitely more expensive. We've admitted that that's a place we're willing to make sacrifices. I guess you could say it's one of our idols. It's hard to admit that. And I won't even divulge all my non-essential Amazon purchases. That's part of the giving record, right? The real giving record. That's where we can see where we really make sacrifices. And I know the whole, but it's not just about money when it comes to church idea. And that's true. But so often, I think, we can hide behind that. So much is about money. So much is about money. That's why Jesus talked about money all the time. And Paul's talking about money here too. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The gospel writers, both Matthew and Luke, Jesus says this in both of their gospels. What is it that you treasure? What is it that you protect? What is it that you make sacrifices for? In other words, where is your heart? Well, all this was true in the ancient world as well. As Paul walked through the streets of Athens, Athenians, he says, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. But then there's something else. Paul notices that there is this altar to an unknown God in our reading from Acts. You see, the people of Athens, like us today, worshipped all kinds of gods. I think it was more overt back then, maybe less shame or denial about it. They openly made sacrifices all the time to the gods of sports and food and parties and travel and transportation, to the gods of music and crafts and weather. By the way, I can't help but think about the gods of weather living in Southern California all those years. I think we really worshipped the weather there. I mean, people really made sacrifices for that beautiful 75 and blue sky weather. There was a higher cost of living. And often people would say, well, that's what we pay for, right? This beautiful weather. And our observation moving 2 years ago, leaving that region, our observation was there were all these comments about how much we were going to miss the weather. How different is that from worshiping an ancient sun god? And that's just one of many altars. But there was this one altar that was unmarked. It was like a fill-in-the-gap altar. One for everything else. And Paul seizes on that image to introduce them to a different kind of God. See, it actually was a fill-in-the-gap altar. Like today, people lived in great fear. If you didn't sacrifice to every god out there, if you worship at every altar, if you missed the worship at every altar, the altar of security, the altar of beauty and youth, the altar of war, if you weren't worshiping at every single one of these altars, the altar of food and drink and sport and weather, the altar of work, if you don't appease every god, then trouble will inevitably befall you. People lived in fear. So just in case you miss one, there was this little fill-in-the-gap altar. Just in case you forgot about a god or two, you could sacrifice at the altar of the unknown god. And Paul seizes on that to draw them into a new understanding. See, it's like there was something else. The people even knew it. This way of living and worshiping and making sacrifices at all these altars, this way of being extremely religious was actually coming up short. Don't we see that too? Do you ever feel that? All these things we worship and yet somehow it's just never enough? We're having some real time, by the way, to reflect on these things during the shutdown, during this what's been called a great pause that this global pandemic has forced upon us. We're always pouring more and more out at all these different altars, and every god will endlessly take our sacrifices, our money, our time, our devotion, our energy, our whole lives, but it's like they're never appeased. The gods are never appeased, and they'll just keep taking. Just talking with dear friends recently this week about the tolls that stress is taking on our bodies, especially these days. And I realize that not everyone is feeling this kind of stress right now amid this shutdown. Some are even downright bored. But for so many, I think of parents of school kids or toddlers, balancing jobs and working from home, school, family, economic pressures, etc., the frantic pace at which we're running around our own homes from altar to altar. It's like all these altars got crammed into our own homes now. Yeah, Paul would say it to us too. I see how extremely religious you are in every way. And let me say too, if life has had the brakes slammed on for you, and you're more in the camp of twiddling your thumbs maybe, or staring at the wall, or maybe banging your head against the wall, well, that's certainly an opportunity for devotion to the many gods to tick up. Surfing the shopping websites, buying crazy things in large amounts, consuming food or alcohol or social media or technology or instruments to fill the time. So many altars, right? Paul says it to us too. I see how extremely religious you are in every way. But then there's this one other little altar. this tiny little chapel, this insignificant table in the corner, this silly old cross, laughable really, in the shadow of all the other towering, glorious altars, Paul seizes on that little altar and takes the fearful theology, that is theology, talk of God, around that altar. And how that has infected Christianity now too, fearful theology. Paul takes that and fills it with incarnational theology, God with us theology. This little tiny insignificant altar you see here, Paul says, I proclaim to you that the God who made the world and everything in it, the God who is composer and conductor of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands. This God allotted the times of our existence and the boundaries of the places where we live so that we may search for God and perhaps grope for God. Though indeed God is not far from each one of us. And here it comes. For in God we live and move and have our being. In God. Friends, we don't grope for God as if God is some object of our attaining, yet another thing to acquire. I hate when people say, gotta go to church to get some God in my life. We don't grope for God as if God's some object of our acquiring, just one more thing, one more altar. No, Paul proclaims here that we are in God already. Honestly, my whole life changed when I started to accept that. First of all, when I kind of, that sort of took over for me. And then when I started to accept that, we are in God already. This little unnamed altar is an entry point into experiencing a God that is truly above all other gods. A God who's got the whole world, the whole universe in a loving embrace. A God in whom we live and move and have our being. A God whose name is love in Christ Jesus. This is where Paul takes us, along with his ancient hearers. Paul preaches of a God who is beyond time and space, who is above all our petty obsessions and weaknesses, who holds us even as we try to appease all the other gods. This altar, this book, this water doesn't contain God. God doesn't live cooped up in here. But they do, we confess, carry God. This altar, this old book, these drops of water point us to a God who is loosed in, with, above, below, all around, throughout, undergirding this entire universe. We cannot encapsulate or domesticate this God of whom Paul speaks. We cannot. All we can do is give ourselves up to this holy movement. Sacrifice ourselves to what we are already in. God's hands. By the way, tapping into this idea that we are already in God, it helps us read the Gospel of John, including this text that we have for before us today. It helps us tap more into the Gospel of John in a whole new mystical light. And that's really what we're talking about, being in God. That is what it is to be a mystic, to understand yourself as in God. When Jesus says things like, because I live in you, you will also live. Understanding that we are in God, what Paul is saying here today, helps us understand John's gospel. This new living, in this new living, Jesus says, you will know me and keep my commandments. You can't even help yourself because you are deeply abiding in my love and my presence. All we can do is give ourselves joyfully to what we are already in, God's hands. Think of when children are angry and restless in their mother's arms. There's no use in trying to overpower mother. I remember when our kids would do this. There's no use when they were little toddlers to overpower. They were crying, they were restless. And she's just saying, just breathe, just rest. It's okay. It's okay. I hate you. I hate you. That even say sometimes, which is so hard to hear, but that didn't change how mom feels about them. Just rest. Just breathe. It's okay. Can't we be like those restless children? Running from altar to altar to altar. And by the way, Paul was once restless too. He was once the restless Saul, but this is Paul becoming a mystic. Friends in Christ, we are truly in Christ. I say friends in Christ a lot and don't really stop to reflect on it, but we are truly in Christ. Not every day do we get to reflect on the all-inclusive, all-loving, all-surrounding embrace of a God in whom we live and move and have our being. Being in Christ is where we find ourselves. So now all we can do is enjoy it, take a breath, and go and make disciples. Go invite others into this understanding, into this joyful awareness. Tell them that we don't have to make all these other sacrifices at all these other altars. Go make disciples by pointing them to the water and the word of life and this community of love, this communion. For simply in this following, there is peace. Peace that is fuller and deeper than any other peace that any idols can offer. Love divine, all loves excelling. That's the kind of peace we're talking about. Jesus calls us away from those other loves to come and follow, to make your sacrifices here and make disciples. You are Christ's witnesses to these things. You have a job to do. It is a blessed burden, a labor of love. Thanks be to God who holds us and this whole cosmos now and forevermore. Go spread that good news. Breathe. It's going to be okay. Because at this altar, we celebrate that God's got us. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.